This episode of Talk Fitness is in partnership with The Vitamin Shoppe, where knowledgeable health enthusiasts are standing by to help you thrive every day.
So many of us are determined to work out, to get fit, to feel good, even if we're just trying to be functional, right? And into our older years, it's very important to move our bodies, but it can be hard to stick with habits, sticking with your fitness goals. So here to join us once again is a fantastic Beth Frady's MD. She is a trained Dr. Frady's, say that word for me.
Physiatrist.
Okay. And you're also a health and wellness coach. You're an expert in lifestyle medicine. You do all kinds of great things. You're an award-winning teacher at Harvard Medical School. I mean, you're just incredible. And I need to learn how to pronounce things. Dr. Frady's, welcome back to Talk Fitness today.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's a pleasure to be here. I enjoy being on your show for so many reasons. Your sense of humor is one of them.
Good.
So yes, I am a physiatrist, and that is a specialist in trauma to the central nervous system or musculoskeletal system. So working with exercise and using it as medication has been part of my training and practice since I began my career in medicine. But today, we're going to focus in mostly on how we as individuals can continue with our healthy habits. Perhaps we started in January and we had our New Year's resolution to exercise regularly. And now we're here on Valentine's Day, or we're in February, and we're wondering what happened if we're no longer pursuing this goal. And we're also wondering, what can we do differently this time? So I'd love to talk about that.
Yes. Jump right in. I'd love you to shed some light and help us out.
Okay, great. So I have, over the years, created something that resonates with my clients, and that's TRICKS, T-R-I-C-K-S, focusing on tricks to make habits stick. So I'll share with you what this mnemonic means. T, for the beginning, trick, is for triggers. R is for rewards. The I is for incentives. The C is for calendar. The K is for kindness. And then the last letter, S, is for support. So I'd love to go through these different steps and strategies for sticking with your exercise program.
Yes, I would love you to do that. That's a really fun acronym, I guess you would say.
Yes, yeah, thank you. I thought you would like it yourself. I know that you have shared so willingly, openly on Twitter about your own exercise routine and how you got back into yoga and got back into routine practice with exercise. And I would love to pull some of your own experience in there. And I can share some of mine, too. I shared on the Sanity Snack on Twitter as well, my own story of struggling to keep exercising through my career with kids and medicine and writing a book, et cetera. So let's start with triggers. The first thing is, it's great to set ourselves up for success. So it's great to have a little alarm or a reminder that exercise is going to be part of your day. So for my clients, what we often talk about is putting on the sneakers and the exercise outfit right away when we wake up, if we're able to do that and we don't have work that day, or we can work out before going to work. If we just have them at the foot of the bed and put them on right away, that's the trigger that says, I'm going to exercise either now or definitely later today. I have some clients that don't work. They're stay-at-home moms, and they put their exercise outfits on in the morning, and they basically use that as their incentive, their reminder to get going for their exercise routine through the day, because they're not going to change into regular clothes until that's done. And if they have an event later in the day, or they're going to go to their their child's school or something else, they are going to want to change into their regular clothes. So they use that as their trigger. Have you ever done that, Lisa?
Well, you know, it's funny because all I wear is exercise clothes. So for me, I think I need to put like a regular outfit on to be like, okay, when you're done, change out of it.
More from my guests coming up, but first I want to talk about something that I love, Liquid IV for the health conscious everyday athlete. Liquid IV fuels tough workouts. It helps prevent cramping and fatigue, promotes healthy post-workout recovery. And what I love the most is it's made with clean ingredients and you've got portable powder packs. The other thing that I love about it and that I find so incredible is that you are going to get the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. That is some great news. It also contains 5 essential vitamins, including more vitamin C than an orange and as much potassium as a banana. And I love Liquid IV. I know you will too. And right now my listeners get 20% off anything at liquid-iv.com. That, again, that's liquid-iv.com. Now be sure to enter my promo code TALKHEALTHY to get your savings and start getting better hydration. Again, go to liquid-iv.com for 20% off. Use the promo code TALKHEALTHY. Don't wait. Get hydrated today.
And actually, this is perfect timing because this last month, I have completely fallen off my yoga. Like, I haven't done it once. Oh. And one of the reasons is because, so from September to at the end of December, I was driving my daughter to a school an hour away, sometimes 4 hours a day. A lot of days I was just spending the whole day there because it was too much and it was killing me. So I did a yoga class up there a couple days a week while I was up there. Well, since I've been back, it's been so nice being home and cooking more and getting more time with my dogs and walking my dogs and reading more that I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take a break. I'm still walking 45 minutes a day with the dogs, but I haven't done any Pilates, any yoga, any weights. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting soft. I need to get back to it. But it was kind of nice taking that break. But I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, break's over. Let's, you know, get this stuff done.
Right. Okay. So maybe we can work on the first step and perhaps the other step using you as an example, if that will be useful to you. So
of course,
putting the clothes
I need help.
On, putting the clothes on is not going to help because that's what you wear. But I would ask
that's
you this.
That's what I wear. Yeah.
Right. Do you wear yoga clothes?
I wear, yeah, I mean, I don't know how to, I mean, yeah, I think kind of yoga, kind of, I can do yoga, Pilates, walk my dogs, all in the same, you know, I love, I get, eBay, I'll just give a little hint, go to eBay or go to an upscale consignment store. I get all my stuff secondhand and a lot of times it's new and I don't know, the people buy it, they don't wear it and I look great and I didn't spend nearly as much. So there's a little help for your pocketbook.
Okay, good. So you're getting all sorts of tips and tricks. So let's move away from the clothes then. I don't think that will necessarily work for you. So here's some other things we do with clients. We actually set an alarm either on their phone or their computer, whatever works best for them given their routine and their daily schedule. And that alarm at, say, 5 p.m. says, time to go to yoga, time to work out. If that would work for you, great. If that's not enough, then you get a friend to meet you at that time or to take a class with you at that time. So the trigger is the time and it's also the friend. So the friend calling you, hey, I'm going to meet you in 10 minutes at the class, or you're realizing you have to meet your friend. You don't want to let your friend down. So the trigger would be meeting your friend at the class or for a walk or for the exercise that you've determined is best for you. Would that work for you?
Yes. And one thing I did do, there is a yoga studio in town, like literally 4 minutes from my house that my husband goes to. He's so disciplined. It's unbelievable. He also does it on his own every day, but then he takes a class that's like, it comes home drenched, like wicked hard. So I did sign up and then I realized the class I signed up for was too advanced. So I didn't go. And instead I should have just signed up for another one, but I did sign up for one on Friday. And I think once I go and I get out of the house and I get to the place, it'll encourage me to just sign up for a month. And I've already paid.
Right.
And I think once you do that, you're more committed. Like I used to do Pilates because I signed up. Something's going wrong and I haven't been able to fix the sign up and I don't know why. And so I'm just like, oh, well, but no, I should like figure it out and get going. But yes, I will get back. Yeah.
You make a great point though, and you started this route, you started on this route with the clothing, which is money. Money is important to most of us. And so when we put money down on something, that's another trigger that we can use, which is, I use this too, by the way, with yoga classes. I will purposely pay up front for the month, knowing if I do that rather than pay per class, if I do that, I will be religious about going there that month. So I think you just figured out your best trigger for now, which is putting the money down on that yoga class, finding the class you like, and then putting the money down. And that, by putting the money down, you're going to do it. So that's your trigger. In other words, you have your money in the class already.
Yes.
So how likely are you on a scale of 0 to 10 to sign up and put the money down today, tomorrow? The class is Friday, right? So when will you put the money down on it? When do you think?
Oh, I already have.
That?
I've already paid and I'm going. I'm signed up. Yep, I'm going. And then after that, when I'm done, if I don't like the class, and at least I'm at the studio, I'll ask the teacher, well, I'm a beginner.
Right.
What is a better fit? And then she'll tell me. And then for next week, I will sign up for that, or today, on Friday, and then take it from there. And I think what happened is, I'm not a big fan of yoga, to be honest. It's really, I found it very challenging, but I know it's so good for me. But there was a teacher when I was far away taking my daughter to school that I just fell in love with. And so that was part of it too. Like, oh, well, she's gone. So that's why it's so important, right? To find a class that's a good fit. Because if you don't like the exercise in the first place, they usually say do something you like. But I think sometimes you can do something that you don't love. If you're still feeling like you see results in your body and you feel better, you can kind of warm up to it. And that's kind of where I am now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that makes great sense. And so in terms of you, you're going to go this Friday. We will check in with you, by the way, also, because I think we have a follow-up, you and I, for another show. So perhaps we'll check in with you. And accountability is a big part of this process, too. So we have your trigger in place. And for those of you that would use the clothes, great. If you're going to use the alarm, great. Or if you're going to use money, there could be other triggers that you're thinking of for yourself that fit for you. Then the other thing is, we'll get to rewards. And Lisa, you already tapped into this, which is for you, the reward of feeling great and seeing results keeps you going. So the thing is, we need to determine what are the rewards we're looking for. You're pretty specific with this with yoga. Not everybody is as specific, but using your example, you know that you want to see changes in perhaps your shape, your body composition. You're looking for results strength-wise, and that is great that you already have that. A lot of people don't have this, and so many people start with extrinsic rewards, meaning an outside reward, not a feeling that you get intrinsically, but an extrinsic one. So many of my clients come and they want to lose weight, basically. That's probably the number one reason people come to me. And they set up systems. Some clients, again, money is important. So if they do their routine exercise 5 days of the week like they had planned, they'll put $5 in a jar. And they'll continue to do that. At the end of the month, they'll have $20. And they'll use that either for a movie or something not food-related, something for themselves. In fact, I had one client who was a middle-aged mom. And I asked her what would be a great reward for her if she did her routine exercise 5 days a week as she had planned. What would be a nice reward? And she said if she does 30 days in a row of some exercise, this is what she set up for herself. This is not going to be appropriate for everyone. But if she does at least 10 minutes of exercise each day for 30 days, hoping to get to a half hour was her goal, but some days only 10 minutes. Then, for her, she would actually go and get herself a new pair of underwear. Now, she is a middle-aged woman with kids and explained to me that she had grandma underwear. we don't need to go into the details of this, but I didn't ask any, I didn't ask you any questions, sure. But this was her, you know, this is the thing. If you don't ask people questions, if you don't say what would work for you, and if I just said to her, put $5 in the jar, she probably would have used the $20 for the underwear. But meanwhile, we had a great time talking about it and laughing about it throughout the month, realizing that she, by the way, did meet that goal, and so she did make her purchases. And then guess what happened? Her husband got very excited about this process and started encouraging her, and she met her goal again and went again. And basically, this is what kept her moving. And then the fun and excitement of it with her partner, with her husband, kept it going. So the reward can be extrinsic to begin with, but what happened with her and what happens with most of my clients is it's a monetary reward or it's the movies, something. But then you eventually start to feel those intrinsic rewards after routine exercise, meaning you start to feel more energetic. You start to feel more focused after exercise. You start to notice that your stress levels are down because you've been exercising routinely for 3 weeks. You might even notice a change in your mood because research shows us that routine exercise for 4 weeks, 5 days in a row, about a half hour, 5 days in a week, doesn't have to be in a row, 5 days in a week for about a half hour, total of 150 minutes over the course of 4 weeks compared to an antidepressant, you're going to actually get similar results in terms of decreasing depressive symptoms and also increasing serotonin levels. So starting to appreciate those intrinsic rewards, meaning the things that are happening internally in our body that keep us going. For me, I get a real runner's high. Now, I know some of my clients don't relate to this. They don't get the endorphin rush. They just don't feel it. But those of us who do feel it, this in itself is a huge reward. I would joke with my kids and, well, friends and colleagues all the time. I never had to try drugs because I started running when I was 15 or so, and I can get a really great high and feeling from running. So for me, that intrinsic reward is what really propels me each day.
Oh, yeah.
Again, we have to ask the person, you have to ask yourself, well, how do I feel after I exercise? What is a benefit that I'm getting? Start with the extrinsic if you need to and move to the intrinsic when you can. Usually you start to notice things after 3 or 4 weeks that you can notice the internal changes. You could even look at cholesterol levels, blood pressure, if you're working with your physician. The next thing in our tricks is the I, which is incentives. I like to use that word. You can also say motive, your motivation. So why do you want to do this to start with? What's propelling you to go to yoga? What is propelling me to go running or to go to yoga? And that's something that you really have. That's probably one of the most important questions to ask yourself and those around you. So I'll actually ask you, what is your motivation to get back into your routine? Why do this and why do it now?
Well, part of it is aesthetics. Aesthetics, am I saying that right? My arms are changing as I'm getting older and I'm not thrilled. Right. I'm like, what is going on? And I still have good muscle tone, but there's definitely some chub there. And I'm not, you know, I mean, I'm shapely. I don't think we all need to be thin. I'm just being honest. It's like, even my daughter the other day was squeezing my arm. She's like, Mommy, you feel mushy. And I'm like, thank you. Okay. All right. I got to get back to yoga.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
So I want those. I'm not going to have those super lean yoga arms, I don't think, because it's not my body type. And I'm not, I mean, I eat clean, but I'm not willing to like eat that clean where I'm constantly, because I've had obsessive issues with food and other things, and it's not healthy for me. Okay. So, like, I have to find my balance, right? So what I want to do is do more cardio, which I haven't been doing as much and I need to, and do more yoga and weight training, which I used to do. So my arms were not quite so mushy as my daughter. She's very honest. She also tells me I'm extraordinarily smelly. So, you know, what are you going to do?
So now I do know a bit about you, so I can ask another question a little bit deeper, which is, I understand that the feeling of changes in our body, especially as we age, can propel us, and that can certainly be a motivator. And then someone noticing it, especially children, and they are often so honest and so curious that they ask questions about these changes, which I see happening with you in the story you shared. I'm also noticing that you have a book coming out shortly, and will probably be going on a book tour. So I know you mentioned aesthetics, and I'm wondering
that's part of it too.
The timing. That's what I was wondering. If the timing is such that there's a little bit of pressure at this points, there's a little bit more motivation because you'd love probably to feel great on your book tour and to feel confident. And perhaps for you, that might include feeling that you're in good shape, because that's how you have been, right, for the majority of your life. And that is what you represent. So you want to be authentic with your presentation. Is that part of the motivation? Am I reading into that correctly?
No, not at all. You're right. And it's funny because they pushed the book to January 2019, which I understand because they want it to be ready for Valentine's Day, and it wouldn't be ready this year. So I'm actually excited now because it gives me more time to take care of my mush. Or I could just wear sleeves. I mean, I had a big interview recently and I just wore sleeves.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not that bad. Right. I don't think other people would be like, oh my God, look at your arms. I think we're all so critical, but I wasn't feeling my best, you know? So,
And the four months of driving didn't help,
you know?
Constantly. Exactly. But as I say, I felt there was something a little deeper than the aesthetics for you. The aesthetics are there, but it was really, I think it's more coming to yourself, to Lisa, and being fit and feeling your authentic self as you go and promote the book. I feel like that's underlying a lot of this effort. And by the way, aesthetics comes up probably the majority of the time for the motives of people that come to me and they do want to get healthy. And it starts with the aesthetics. They do mention, I had a 74-year-old client who wanted to get into a bathing suit for a vacation she was having in Florida with a friend in 6 months. And so her original motivation was just that. I want to be able to fit into a bathing suit. And, you know, some people may be listening and saying, oh, this is so superficial. This is, people shouldn't be worried about how they look. And I guess I hear that, but I think we're all human. And to be honest, is the only way to stick with your routine and to get to a feeling of accomplishment, to be honest with yourself and those around you, so that you, if that's your first and initial motivation or that's what you feel, then you go with it. But just like we said with the rewards, there's usually something deeper that you and I just determined, even with you, there's something deeper there. It's not just about the mushy arm. It's actually about being Lisa and feeling like you're being true to yourself and your beliefs and your values and your priorities, which you have been true to, and then things get in the way and then we fall off, but we want to get back. So just being honest with the incentives, and I really appreciate, I knew you would be honest. That's why I knew we could go through this together, our tricks, and use you as an example, because I knew you'd do that. And with this 74-year-old, no, it's wonderful. Because
well, I have to mention on this. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, hun.
I just wanted
to get across. I'm not extraordinarily smelly. My daughter, people listen, they know she's on the autism spectrum. She's like a soup. No, her smell is like a superhero. Like, she notices everything.
Okay.
So I just wanted to put that out there. Okay, sorry, Dr. Frates, go on.
No. So that's good for the listeners. I just, as you noticed, just went right over that because I completely understand what you're talking about with the olfactory system there. Okay. Yeah. So the idea that we will be honest with ourselves and we will really ask what is our true motivation. And then we might want to get deeper once we identify a motivator. But then let's go to the fourth trick, which is the C, and that's the calendar. And this also involves logging. So I would ask you to look at the calendar. If you have one, do you use a paper calendar or do you use your phone or computer? What do you use?
I use both. I like my paper calendar better, but I tend to lose things. So my husband's like, you got to back that up. Or the dogs have chewed up books and other things in the house. So I'm really good about keeping it in the same place high up where they can't reach it. Yes, this is a good reminder that I'm overdue to add stuff to my calendar. Because if they do eat my my paper, I'm in trouble. My paper binder, notebook, I'm in trouble.
Right. Well, so for everyone, in terms of the calendar, the idea is this. We know Lisa's going to yoga on Friday. So on her calendar, the paper one high up or whatever Lisa chooses to use moving forward, there'll be a spot there that says yoga. And then perhaps a box. And if you make this calendar public, which I like to do, I have teenage boys and they're competitive. And when I say I'm going to commit to exercising this month 5 days a week and I'm going to put it on the calendar, they get very interested too. It makes it public. They then see, oh, Mom, you didn't exercise on Wednesday. So which day are you going to make up? And they're not even my coach. They're just interested because we've made this now public, right? It's on a calendar.
Yeah.
So you may not have kids. You may not live with anyone. So posting a calendar may not encourage others to ask you about it. But guess what? If you post the calendar someplace where you can see it, it may be high up in your case due to your dogs, Lisa, but where you can see it, it's a constant reminder. So you have it up on your calendar. It also encourages logging, meaning you'll either check it off if you do it or it will remain... The box will remain unchecked and you will realize you need to do a makeup. It also serves for reflection. So when you finish the month, you can go back to the calendar and look and say, wow, how many days did I go to yoga? How many days did I follow through with my exercise routine out of 30? How many did I do? We know that when people log and keep track, it helps to literally stay on track when you keep track of things. What gets measured gets monitored. We put attention to those things that we're measuring. So it's similar to what we appreciate. If you're going to focus in on kindness, you're going to notice more kindness. If you're going to focus in on tracking your exercise, you're going to take it seriously. So putting it in the calendar and tracking or logging is really critical. The next thing I want to talk about, which is actually the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth step, is kindness. Treating yourself with kindness throughout this process. So this is self-compassion. We aren't always going to meet our 5 out of 5, or like my client with the underwear, she did meet the 30 days for 30 days for a long time and was successful. Remember, she changed her goal to just at least be 10 minutes, where she could be marching in place for 10 minutes and that would reach her goal. But there'll be some times when you may not make that yoga class this Friday for some reason. Now, we don't beat ourselves up. The problem is most of us have this tendency to participate in negative self-talk, meaning we'll beat ourselves up for not going to that yoga class, and we'll beat ourselves up so badly that we actually won't even want to try again. We'll kind of throw our hands up and say, see, I can't do it. That's why I have these arms. That's why these arms are not going to get better, because I don't have time. Things always get in the way, and I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. Instead of, let's learn and grow from this. Treat ourselves with some self-compassion. Look at what happened that day. Say, wow, I understand what happened. An emergency popped up. I had to drive my daughter to this, or my dog got sick, or something happened and I wasn't able to get to it. That's okay. Now I'm going to make contingency plans. I'm going to go instead tomorrow on Saturday, or I'll do online. Maybe this is my cue to try an online class. There's tons of yoga classes online. Maybe that's what I need to do to make it up. So really giving yourself a dose of kindness throughout this process. We're not going to be perfect. And often perfect is the enemy of progress. So we're just looking for progress and we're looking to learn and grow. So if we can have that attitude, then we're much more likely to stick with any routine. The last part of our trick is support, the S, trick, support. So that's enlisting somebody else. It could be an online support network if that works best for you. It would be great if you had a person, even if it's a friend in California and you live in New York, that you can call and check in with to keep you accountable. Or in your case, Lisa, you've got your husband who's going routinely, and perhaps you start going when he goes, or you find another friend, or if you can use your support system to help you stick with your exercise routine, it'll be really useful for the long haul. So those are the tricks: triggers, rewards, incentives, the calendar, kindness, and support. If you can put those in place, you're much more likely to stick with your exercise routine.
You are so wonderful, Dr. Frates. I always love having you on the program. The time went by so quickly. So tell us all the ways we can find you on social media.
Okay, terrific. So I'm most engaged at this time with Twitter, and that's at Beth Frates, M-D, B-E-T-H-F-R-A-T-E-S-M-D. I also have a website, which I'm upgrading very soon, but currently it's www.wellness-synergy.com. And I'd love to connect. I do enjoy Twitter. I do follow Lisa, and it is a lot of fun. And I'm often posting about sticking with exercise, about kindness, about nutrition, about sleep, about many different lifestyle medicine topics. And I'd love to come back, as we talked about earlier, and discuss the It's Fun exercise prescription, perhaps.
Oh, you definitely will. And everyone, definitely follow Dr. Frates. She's wonderful. I want to thank everyone for listening to Talk Fitness Today. You can follow me at HealthMediaGal1. You can also follow Talk Fitness Today at Talk Fitness, the number 2 day. I want to thank everyone for listening and stay well.
This episode of Talk Fitness was produced by The Vitamin Shoppe, where trusted health enthusiasts help you thrive every day. Visit one of 800 stores across the country or head to vitaminshoppe.com for all your wellness needs.